This Bible talk, titled Complain, is on Psalm 10. It's the second sermon in our new series, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Learning to Lament. And it was recorded at Robina on Sunday the 10th of January 2021.
Tonight's story on the Twilight Zone is somewhat unique and calls for a different kind of introduction. This, as you may recognise, is a map of the United States, and there's a little town there called Peeksville. On a given morning, not too long ago, the rest of the world disappeared and Peeksville was left all alone. Its inhabitants were never sure whether the world was destroyed and only Peeksville left untouched, or whether the village had somehow been taken away. They were, on the other hand, sure of one thing: the cause. A monster had arrived in their village. Just by using his mind, he took away the automobiles, the electricity, the machines, because they displeased him. And he moved the entire community back into the Dark Ages just by using his mind. I'd like to introduce you to some of the people in Peeksville, Ohio. This is Mr. Fremont. It's in his farmhouse that the monster resides. And this is Mrs. Fremont. And this is Aunt Amy, who probably had more control over the monster in the beginning than almost anyone. But one day she forgot. She began to sing aloud. Now, the monster doesn't like singing, so his mind snapped at her and turned her into the smiling, vacant thing you're looking at now. She sings no more. And you'll note that the people in Peeksville, Ohio, have to smile. They have to think happy thoughts and say happy things, because once displeased, the monster can wish them into a cornfield or change them into a grotesque walking horror. This particular monster can read minds, you see. He knows every thought. He can feel our every emotion. Oh yes, I did forget something, didn't I? I forgot to introduce you to the monster. This is the monster. His name is Anthony Fremont. He's 6 years old with a cute little boy face and blue, guileless eyes. But when those eyes look at you, you'd better start thinking happy thoughts, because the mind behind them is absolutely in charge. And so began Episode 8, Season 3 of The Twilight Zone, which first went to air on November the 3rd, 1961. It's terrifying stuff. Seriously, what was going on in the 1960s? Of course, Simpsons fans will recognise the plot too. Season 3, Episode 6, The Treehouse of Horrors, when Bart turned Homer into a jack-in-the-box, just like Anthony did to Dan Hollis in The Twilight Zone. But as terrifying as that is, a mind-reading, mind-controlling six-year-old little boy, a narcissistic, despotic autocrat, displeased to the point of executing judgment when people don't think happy thoughts and don't say happy things, many people think that way about God too. They think that he's like some kind of monster, God who knows our every thought, God who knows our every feeling. So we'd better only think happy thoughts and say and feel happy things so that something bad doesn't happen to us. Wouldn't want to sound ungrateful now, would we? It's a good thing that God did that. It's a real good thing God allowed that to happen. People say it when really bad things happen to them. And some people, some Christians, are always so unbelievably happy, aren't they? They attend an Everything is Awesome church. But that amount of happiness, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? Because not everything is awesome. Not everything in life is always good. Inauthenticity and being fake, pretending to be happy and positive, overriding our emotions, is really just another way of hiding from God. We either hide from God in our denial, or we hide from God in our anger. We live in self-made prisons of despair and bitterness with no patience, no grace, and no encouragement offered to anyone. Inevitably, our pain gives rise to our own rage, and it can even pave the way towards our unbelief. When we're in pain, when we're suffering, often we are hiding from God. But we think it's God who's hiding from us. And that's how Psalm 10 starts. Because if we're going to learn how to lament together, if we're going to learn and discover the grace of lament, we need to learn how to complain. We need to take this next step. And this summer, in our summer series on the Psalms, we're learning to lament together, because not everything in life is awesome, is it? Last week we looked at Psalm 77. If you were with us, we took our first step in learning to lament, and that was turning to God in prayer. But step two is bring your complaints. Bring your complaints to God. Step one, turn. Step two, complain. Turn to God in your pain and bring your complaints with you, which is exactly how Psalm 10 begins. Psalm 10 starts by lodging a formal protest. It begins with a complaint. See that with me, will you? Verse 1. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 10 starts with a question, but it's a question that quickly turns into an accusation. Why do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? I want you to feel the language here, friends. Because David, who wrote this psalm, is deeply troubled because God feels distant, aloof, standoffish. God seems too far removed to be helpful to him. He stands too far away. Do you know that feeling? God appears to not be appearing to him at all, not present when David needs him the very most. But it's even worse than that, isn't it? Because in this moment, to David, God seems disinterested. It's like God is the one who's gone into hiding. Essentially, David is telling God, hey, God, you're not being God-like enough for me. And this is the God who stands close to us, isn't it? This is the God who is with us, the one who is up close and personal. David calls him Lord. Lord means Yahweh. Yahweh is God's personal name. The Lord God, Yahweh, is the great I am. He is the deliverer of his people Israel. You see, David's on a first name basis with the God of the universe. They share an intimate and familiar relationship with one another. But right now, in this very moment, God's standing too far away from him. God's nowhere to be found. It's a struggle that's not just with pain, it's the struggle that David now has with God. Because suffering from injustice is one thing, isn't it? But God's lack of intervention, it's a deeper pain still. It's the kind of pain that rightly gives rise to our complaint. And so step two in learning to lament is both helpful and familiar for us, because eventually, don't we, all of us discover at some point that life is not fair. If you've ever been wronged by someone or you've watched other people being unfairly treated, that's painful enough. But when the perpetrator seems to get away with it, the lack of consequences and the lack of resolution, it's maddening, isn't it? But complaint gives voice to our hard questions, no matter how big or how small they are. Lament, it gives voice to all of life's sorrows, and life's sorrows can enter our lives through all sorts of ways. Unfulfilled longings, loneliness, an ailing body, an unfair employer, job loss, financial struggles, a broken engagement, marriage conflict, and our hearts, they groan under the weight of things like infertility, of cancer, adultery, separation, divorce, wayward children, another lockdown. We want God to intervene. But so many times in life, God chooses not to, and that's the tension of complaint. Psalm 10 isn't the only place that complaint gets voiced. God, often it gets addressed in the language of complaint. There are plenty of why questions in the Psalms, friends. For example, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Psalm 44, verse 23, awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? Psalm 88, verse 14, O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? And that's just the why questions. There's plenty of how questions too. Psalm 13, verse 1, for example, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 74, verse 10, how long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Psalm 137, verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. And once you start seeing these questions in the Psalms, these verses, they jump out at you from everywhere. See, God can handle your struggles. These heartfelt questions, they've always been in your Bible. The Psalms, they give us permission. The Psalms, they give us encouragement. They encourage us to lay out our struggles before God, even if our struggle is with God. But asking our questions is just one aspect of complaint. Psalm 10 also shows us the value of listing out our frustrations. Would you see that with me in verse 3? For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. David is outraged. He's frustrated that there is no justice. The wicked are arrogant and proud. They seemingly get away with everything. Everything they do is successful, verse 5. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. The wicked, they seem to go from strength to strength. They act like they'll never, ever suffer. Verse 6, they never come up against any adversity. Verse 7, their mouth is filled with cursing. Verse 8 and 9, they wait and plan for their next victim to appear. Verse 10, vulnerable people are being hurt by their actions. He simply continues on in his pride. Verse 11, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Sound familiar? The problem with the wicked isn't a psychological disorder. I mean, they could be a narcissistic megalomaniac. But it's not simply a pathological problem. It's a deeply rooted problem of the heart. See it with me, verse 6, he says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Verse 11, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. When we're met with this kind of injustice, the psalmist turns his powerless into a platform. David calls out to God. Rather than allowing his pain to rule over him, creating bitterness and despair, anger and unbelief, rather than denying his painful circumstances, pretending that everything is awesome and everything's just fine and it's all okay, David lays out his angst and expresses his frustration, and they push him towards God and not away from him. Because focusing only on our pain, friends, makes us myopic. We become preoccupied with our pain and our own problems. But complaint shifts our focus and it brings clarity. It reorientates our thinking and our feelings. So lay out your frustrations and your sorrows before God. Write them down. Make a list. Buy a journal. Because the more specific your complaints to God can be, the sharper your prayers will be also. The clearer that you can be about what's bothering you is better for everyone. When we know what the real issue is, when we can give voice to our complaint, when we express our heartfelt concerns, we're then ready to take the third step in learning how to lament. Boldly asking God to do something. Look there, verse 12. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand, forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? You see what David's asking? He's asking God to meet justice, his justice, with all that's unjust. David wants God to right the wrongdoings. Boldly, David asks God for justice, and that's the third step in learning how to lament. But before we all move on to step 3, I want to bring us all back just a step so that we can discover together the grace that's awaiting us in learning how to lament. I want us to consider complaint. You see, friends, complaint brings clarity. It helps us see ourselves in our situation clearly. And our complaint, it so wonderfully helps us see God again. It shifts our sights from our problems. You see, when we present our problems to God, It's then that we can begin to see God in ways that we may never have seen him before. You see, friends, God also sees. Look there, verse 14. But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. You see, God sees. God sees all the unseen injustices that have happened and that have happened to you. God, he takes note of everything. He keeps perfect record of all that is imperfect. God takes matters into his own hands. Can you see that there? So that we don't have to take matters into our own. Break the arm of the wicked, asked David. Break the stronghold over the oppressed. David boldly asks God because he's learned how to lament. Complaint is so much more than just listing out a series of grievances. Can you see where complaint can lead you? It can change your entire worldview. Look there, verse 17. O Lord, you hear the desires of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. Earlier in the psalm, you remember the heart of the wicked is pride and arrogance. But here now, God strengthens the heart of the afflicted. The wicked, they boast of their desires early in the psalm. But here, God hears the desires of the oppressed. God brings justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. You see, when we think no one is listening to us, when we're caught up in our own silence, God hears us. See it there. God inclines his ear towards us. They are such precious words. Like a loving father attentively listening to all the concerns of his little children, so God listens to us. God attends to us. God inclines his ear. He bends down in order to hear us. When we begin to see that God sees everything, we begin to see ourselves more clearly too. And when we hear that God also hears us, it's then that we hear ourselves a whole lot better. Because we're the ones who are helpless. And our only hope is to trust in our Father. God helps the hopeless and the helpless. God, the Father to the fatherless, he adopts us as his sons. See that now, Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, God is the Father to the fatherless. And God adopts us as his sons. We are his children. The Spirit confirms it for us. The orphan and the oppressed, the helpless and the hopeless can now cry to him together, Abba, Father. God gives us his Spirit not only as a seal of our adoption as his sons, but so that we might also be helped in our weakness. See how he helps us, verse 26, Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Do you understand what this is saying? When we don't even know how to complain, when we don't know what to say, when we don't even know where to begin, when we can't give voice to our concerns or manage to give expression to our problems, see it now, the Spirit of God helps us. The Father listens to his upset and unsettled children. God interprets all of the moaning and the groaning for us. God is the helper of the helpless. God inclines his ears. He attends to us. So turn to God in your sufferings and bring your complaints with you. Because God our Father graciously listens to us, and his grace can be found to us when we turn to him in lament. Commit yourselves to him. because our Father listens to us. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And that's what we're learning to do, isn't it? We're learning how to lament. Step one, turn. Turn to God in prayer. Step two, complain. Bring your complaints with you. I hope that's been an encouragement for you this morning. But I want to finish this morning with a word of warning. Don't skip the process of complaint. But don't get stuck there either. You see, there needs to be a step three. We're not meant to linger in our complaints or wallow around in our questions and frustrations forever. We're never to move beyond our, if we are to ever move beyond our complaints, then prayer of lament loses its purpose. Complaint is not an end in itself. It is the means to an end. And the end goal of complaint, friends, is restoration. Complaint is meant to move us towards healing. When we bring our complaints to the Lord, we do so that we might move closer to him and not away from him. Complaint is central. It's the turning point of the prayer of lament. But Christians never complain just for the sake of complaining. Talk to God about your struggles. Be honest. Be specific. Be real. Be direct. Even if it's messy because it's messy, and even if it's embarrassing and awkward because it's embarrassing and awkward, give voice to your troubles and your concerns to God. Let them move you towards him, not to imprison you any further. But for now, let's just take a quiet moment together. And I want you to make a mental list of all that weighs heavily upon your heart this morning. Can we do that together? Let's just take a moment, a quiet moment, and make a mental list of all that weighs heavily upon your heart. Is there anything there that you want to say to God? Is there anything there that you want to tell him? God our Father is ready to listen. Will you pray with me? How thankful we are, our Father, that you love us so much. That you invite us to bring our complaints before you, and that you eagerly listen, that you are willing and attentive, that you incline your ear to our concerns, no matter how big, no matter how small. And even when we don't know what to pray, when we can't express the pain that's within us, when words fail us, so you've given us your Spirit in order to interpret the moaning and the groaning. Spirit that not only seals us in our adoption, but helps us in our weakness. And so, Father, whatever it is, the heavy things on our hearts this morning, whatever the cries of your people as they've expressed and articulated just now, O Lord God, hear. Lord God, answer. Help us to grow closer to you in our struggles and our pain, not to resist you, but to move towards you. Give us clarity in our thoughts and our feelings that we might express them before you, our God, ready to listen. And help us, we pray, to know that because you are good, because you've delivered your people in the past, so you will deliver us also. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.